So, before we talk about how you give presentations, it's time to talk about how you handle posters and that sort of semi-social event, semi-academic event that occurs at many conferences. So I showed you this slide. This is actually from a conference. This is the bar. This is the bar at the poster session. People go to the poster session to have a drink, to eat some food, to chat to people about their posters. Now, this is what a poster session looks like. There's a bunch of boards. There's posters on them. There are people standing next to the posters and talking about their work. So next to some of the posters, you see, like this guy here, that's his poster he's standing next to. He's explaining it to somebody else. So these are very social events in which you get to talk to people about your research with a poster. And you'll remember on the 8th of November, I handed out a little handout, one page about posters and about what you should be doing with your posters. So I thought it worthwhile to go through that, show you what people do right and what people do wrong. So what happens is you make your poster, takes you ages, and you then go along to the conference and you find your slot, and you've carried this on the airplane. You can see this is actually quite tricky to carry in an airplane. And you find your slot, you stick your poster up, and we now have our poster along with maybe 50, 100 others sitting on a poster board. And how do you make this poster so that it's going to communicate your research effectively and do what you need it to do? So there are two schools of thought about this. One is that your poster is going to have to stand alone. And for a lot of the conference, your poster will be on its own, and it must explain your research all on its own. So some conferences are like that. Most conferences, there's a standard session where people come along to talk about their posters. And in some conferences, like the one above on the slide, the only time people can go look at the posters is actually when the authors are standing next to the poster to talk about it. So you need to know what sort of conference you're going to. Is it going to be a conference where your poster might be standing on its own and random people might go past? Or is it going to be a conference where you only get to look at things? So we've got a couple of examples on the visualizer. I've got another poster produced by my research group. So we can talk about what these posters get right, and then we'll look at a whole bunch of posters. So the key point of a poster is to have something that you can stand next to and talk about and go, well, we did this and then we did that, and you see there's details of the algorithm here, and you should look at the difference between these two. So you need to have things you can point at. Things to point at. Look at my pretty graph. This is what we're trying to do. So obviously you don't point at text and read it out. That doesn't work. You have things you can point at, and people say, well, what's the teddy bear doing? And you say, the teddy bear's doing this. So there are two schools of thought. One is to have very little text and just lots of things to point at. And that's great so long as you're always going to be there pointing at it. The other view, which seems to be taken by the designers of both these posters, is to have enough text that somebody who comes along can read what your project's about and get an understanding of it, and then still lots of visuals so it looks good and you have things to point at. But there's one thing that's guaranteed to be wrong, and that's having lots and lots and lots of text, because people are not willing to stand up and read four columns of detailed text about your project. They're probably willing to read this much and see if it's at all interesting. And a reason for having the good visuals is that if you see, oh, look, cute purple teddy bear, you might say, that looks interesting, I'll go read that first paragraph. So having your entire research summarized in one paragraph, which is what this does, it's got motivation and overview right here. The one on the overhead projector's got one paragraph. You don't need to be able to read it. You just need to see that it's got one paragraph that summarizes things. You need some other things. You want to grab as many people as possible to look at this so that you hope the two or three people who are going to be your future collaborators or your future bosses will be the ones to see it and get in touch with you, even if you're not there. So you need a title that says what the poster's about. Like layered photo pop-up. That means things in my world. Up here, crowdsourcing and emotion studies. If you keep it down to five words, people can immediately whiz across that. And you need to have something that says where you're from, because you've probably never heard of Lech Shversky. But if you look down the bottom right-hand corner, it says University of Cambridge. You think, oh, University of Cambridge, they've got good research groups. I'll have a look at this. The one at the top here has got University of Cambridge right at the top. So one advantage of being in the research group where people know you do good work is you get kudos by association, that if you're in a research group that's well known, sticking their logo up there. We see the logos aren't gratuitous, they're just there, just enough that people who say, well, which group is this? Oh yes, it's that group. So generally in one of the corners goes the logo. You do need to say who you are, and it's useful if you have some contact information, which as you will notice, this poster doesn't. Which means that if somebody wanted to find out what Lech Shversky was now doing, they'd have to stand there and write his name down and the title of his poster and where he is and hope that they could find him. Whereas up here on the poster on the visualizer, there's actually a web link in the bottom right-hand corner. And even better, there's a QR code, which means that people with the right app on their mobile phone can just click on the QR code and it takes you straight to the website. So they don't even have to do anything other than point the phone at the QR code and they've got it. So stick a QR code on your poster. It's a good idea. You can't expect anybody to read the whole thing. Even this amount of text here, most people didn't read the whole thing. But you can expect anybody who's interested to read the title, who it's by, where they're from, first paragraph. You use diagrams. Use tables, visuals, things that catch people's attention. People are very visual creatures. They like visual stuff. You need a clean design. You need to be prepared to leave white space. You don't need to fill every space. I know that these posters have filled almost all the space. But notice there's this big chunk of blue here that's not filled and this big chunk of blue here that's not filled. We didn't feel we had to fill every last square centimeter. You don't have to cram every centimeter. And you need the design to be clean, so it needs to look good. So you have one typeface, headings that are clearly distinguishable from the text. Now, you notice these guys didn't have any contact info, but having a handout, so having business cards available, or you can get little postcards made if your supervisor's got enough cash to do that, or some sort of printed one-page handout, or even copies of your paper, something people can take away so that when they get home from the conference, it falls out of their bag and they go, oh yeah, that was interesting. So I've seen some really nice little postcards done for this. Now, what happens when you're standing next to one of these? People will come up to you, and they might say, tell me about your poster, or they might just stand there ignoring the fact that you're obviously standing here, or they might say, is this your poster? And depending on the tone of voice, you might say, yes, or why? So what you need is you're going to have people coming up over 2 or 3 hours wanting to know about your poster. So you're going to have to expect to say the same thing over and over again. So have a 30-second explanation of your work. So just 30 seconds explaining what it's about. And can you condense your work into 30 seconds? So you all had a go in exercise 5 at condensing your research down into a tweet, 140 characters. Can you compress your entire poster into 30 seconds? And then the person you're talking to will either say, thank you very much, and walk off, or will say, that's really interesting, and pick up on something and get into a conversation. And if they say, thank you very much, and walk off, you've spent only 30 seconds with them, so you haven't wasted your time. So what you're trying to do is give them enough information that they can then fling back at you the things that they are interested in. Because if you talk about what they're interested in, you're much more likely to get a really good conversation. There's also all sorts of interesting social niceties which you really only find out about when you present a poster, which is you'll get maybe somebody who doesn't really have much else to do, hasn't really talked to anybody for about 24 hours and really just wants to talk to someone. And you have to not let that person hog your time for an hour. You have to be able to draw other people in. So you talk to somebody, you decide how long you're willing to talk to each person for, maybe say it's 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, you then say, well, turn to the next person and say, oh, I see you're looking at the poster too. Would you like me to explain it to you? And draw people into the conversation. You don't be rude, but you have to remember that the point is to get your information across to as many people as possible. And so being able to move on. And that social trick can actually be quite hard to learn. So saying things like, thank you, it's been nice talking to you. Would you like to talk about my poster? The poster is a great way of making sure that you can keep cycling through the people. And of course, everybody's got lots of posters to look at. So if you say, thank you, it's been nice talking to you, and move somebody onto the next poster, at least there's lots of other things for them to see and do. So we're now going to look at some posters at this conference. This is electronic imaging in San Jose, California. And you can see yet again a poster from this group. Now, this is not quite so successful. An awful lot of text there. No very obvious first paragraph to read. A few nice visuals and things to point out. So not really as successful as this in terms of getting the message across. Not so successful in being something you could stand next to. So let's now go through some posters from other people. These guys seem to have got it right. It's really quite visually attractive. You look at it, you see those pictures, they say to you, those circular pictures, you say, well, what on earth is that? If you don't know what it is, you'll then go read the stuff in the top left-hand box. That's where people automatically go if they are used to reading English, top left-hand side. You may never read the whole thing, but it grabs enough attention to get people going. So I think that's nice. These people obviously tried a little too hard because it turns out to be really difficult to read white text on a red background. So this may be a nice poster, but it's really hard to read. So when you're designing stuff, you actually need to have some critical faculty involved to say, printing it on a red background is not going to work. But some really nice pictures, a very long title, which people might not even read to the end of. And not at all clear where these people work. So there's no clear idea on here what university they're from or research group. But these people obviously had enough money to print one big poster. Unfortunately, some people don't. So this is the sort of thing you see. It's a bunch of slides done in PowerPoint. Now, would you stand there and read that? It's printed on yellow to try to get your attention, but it's a mistake. It looks like somebody's done a poor PowerPoint presentation and then just printed it out. So, not great. How about this? Now, this really grabs your attention. There's some pretty colored pictures. There is, in the top right, top left-hand corner, a very short summary. At the bottom, there's the which university did this. And this really grabs your attention. There's enough text to give you information, some visuals to point at. Looks good. If you're interested in segmentation using a region growing thresholding, you'd read this. Now, again, printed out PowerPoint slides. And if at all possible, try to find some way of printing big. Now, if you're in this department, we have a printer that prints this big, which is nice. This is a pain to take on the aircraft. I tend to chop these things into two, and then you can roll up two sheets of A1 size paper and have two posters next to each other. That works really well. This person, again, this is essentially taking the paper and converting it into slides and then pinning the slides up. And nobody's going to read that. Even the top left-hand corner, that paragraph has got too much information in it. But, you know, what if you can only print on A4 sheets? Well, this isn't actually too bad. There's nowhere near as much text. There's some nice visuals you can point at. So this actually works if you can only print out A4 sheets. But what you shouldn't do is have it obviously a PowerPoint printout. So getting rid of these repeated thing at the bottom of every slide would actually make it look a lot cleaner. But not bad for somebody who could only print A4 sheets of paper. This, however, is going too far. First of all, right at the top right-hand corner, somebody's found the 3D text function in Microsoft Word. And inspection and measurement of a DWDM core with two special something or other. I can't read that. This is a very serious technical paper that's been converted, starting to look like a children's TV program. And so you can go really the wrong way with trying to make things look attractive, and this is going the wrong way. There's lots of good pictures. There's some nice, clean text, but it all comes across as a complete mess. So I wonder if this person ever put the whole lot down and looked at how it would look when he put it on the board. Now, these people could only afford an A2 printer, so they used 4 sheets. This is very clean, but again, it would look even better if they hadn't got the same footer on every single one of those slides. But that looks really quite nice. This, I think, looks lovely. If you have a big printer, you can do this. Explanation down the left, some nice pictures, grabs your attention. You can very quickly skim read that, and you would know as a conference attendee whether you wanted to talk to the author or not very quickly. All right, this chap. Now, this chap also has a big printer. This looks like it's going to be really good. He was the guy on the poster next to mine. And I took a photo of him because I thought I needed to show people that you can do this. And unfortunately, when he put it up, he's printed out his PowerPoint slides on A0 sheets. So nice that he had the big printer, but it's as bad as printing out it on A4 paper. So this looks nice. Lots of things to point at, but if this was left on its own without somebody standing next to it, there's no way to understand what's going on. There's not enough text on this one. So really nice for standing next to, though. And now I'll finish off with a few good ones. This looks really good. Enough text to explain what's going on, some nice pictures and graphs to point at. A lot of the things at this conference are not really visually very exciting things. They're sort of testing little bits of silicon, and this is charge-coupled devices, so this really is testing little bits of silicon. But you can draw some nice graphs. You can try your best to get some visuals. This is very plain, but if you can only print in black and white, this is a pretty good shot. One more. So this seemed, of all the ones I had, to be just about a good balance. It's got a bit too much text in the introduction, but it's clear where it's from. It's from Daimler Chrysler. It's clear what it's about, and there's some nice things to point at. So, a little handout about that you got a little while ago, and that's posters. So you will probably end up doing posters. So remember, the lab can print out great big chunks of paper, and you can produce rather nice posters if you stick to the rules of enough text that somebody could understand what you're talking about without you standing there, but lots of things that you can point at if you are standing there. And the main thing is you want them to look at your poster and then go to your research web page, go read your paper, things like that.